All right, amen. Great singing this morning. Love that song, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Wow, praise the Lord for that. And certainly worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. I'm glad you're here, as I said this morning. I hope you're glad to be here as well. Got some extremely exciting news for you. We are moving to a new verse in Galatians 5 this morning. We are now made it to verse number 23. I know you thought that would never happen, but sure enough, it has. And we have made our way through verse number 22. And we are back, or we are down in verse number 23 this morning in chapter 5 in the book of Galatians. So you're welcome for that. All right. So verse number 23, we continue to study the fruits of the Spirit. And as I mention every week, for those that haven't heard me say this every week, these are attitude fruits that lead to actions. Don't try to do these actions without an attitude, and don't try to have this attitude without the power of the Holy Spirit, because that is surely not going to work. God is not designed for you to beat your flesh into subjection by your own power and by a list on the refrigerator. I told you how I do with Trader Joe's cookies when I do that. It doesn't work. But God, through the Holy Spirit, empowers us to be what we aren't naturally, because earlier in chapter 5, we saw what we were naturally, and that was the works of the flesh. But through the works of the Spirit, the Bible says we produce fruit of the Spirit. So the Spirit produces this fruit within us, and we are empowered by Him to live and to act and respond these ways. So verse number 22 said the fruit of the Spirit was love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. And then verse number 23, we only have two fruits left. And as be honest with you, I think this is really one of my favorite fruits to study in Galatians chapter number 5, which is where we are this morning, verse 23, where the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit from verse 22 is now verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Meekness. What does it mean to be meek or to be gentle, as some may say it, or other words may, other translations may have it, to be meek. So the word meekness kind of has a bad rap in our society today. We have the idea that meekness means talking real quiet. They don't say much real loud. They're not real bold. They're just real meek. They just kind of just slip away out of crowds. They aren't really noticed or whatever that may be. And we have this idea of meekness as someone who doesn't talk real loud, someone that doesn't say a whole lot, somebody that just kind of blends in and doesn't really offer their opinion on anything. When we see this word meekness, we often relate it to a word that it rhymes with, which is weakness. But the biblical term for meekness does not mean weakness in any way. One author says it like this: if you think meekness is weakness, try being meek for a week and see how that goes, right? If you think meekness is weakness, try being meek for a week. It's not the case. Meekness actually requires great strength. Meekness actually requires great strength and empowerment from the Spirit of God. It is meekness that helps you not respond in a way that you may want to respond. It is meekness that keeps your hand from the horn when you have been cut off in traffic. It is meekness that helps you respond in a way that you should respond to your spouse or to someone that is around you. Meekness is not weakness, but we'll learn this morning that meekness is strength under control. Meekness requires great strength from God. It is referred to sometimes as gentleness, as the opposite of things in our life that we would understand. And so it takes courage to be meek and gentle in an evil world. So what does meekness mean? John MacArthur broke it down three ways. I stole this from him as I was studying this week. He says three different ideas of meekness. First of all, the first idea of meekness is submission to the will of God, from Colossians 3. submission to the will of God. That is part of meekness. A second attribute of meekness is to be teachable. To be teachable. Are we teachable, I wonder? Or do we know everything? A lot of times we think we know everything, right? We're teachable. So are we submissive to the will of God? Are we teachable? And then number three, he writes that it is consideration of others from Ephesians chapter number 4. And so to understand this attitude of meekness, that we have an attitude where we are submissive to the will of God, that we are teachable, and that we are considering of others. Think of this. A good illustration. Did you know I was a cowboy at one time? I was. All right, let me tell you the story about what happened. I was on the horse. It was bucking and bucking and bucking. I was screaming. I was yelling to get off the buck. And finally, get off the horses. It was bucking. And finally, I yelled at Joanna, "Unplug this thing!" And I was in front of Kmart on a mechanical horse, and it was coming off. But anyway, that's not completely true. I did have a horse at one time. His name was Ozark. He was my sister's horse. She wanted a horse. And then she left for college. She was a little older than me, so I was next in line to inherit this horse. I like horses with engines, not with 4 feet, okay? So I inherited the horse Ozark. Ozark didn't like me. I didn't really like him. He liked to bite. I didn't know how to make him stop doing that. My sister rode bareback. I only rode with a saddle. On and on we could go. But Ozark was not much use to me because he was not under control. He had a lot of strength. He had a lot of power. He could run fast. My friend had a horse named Molly, and he could outrun Molly and all these things we could think about. But Ozark, even though he had strength and he had ability and he had muscle, he was no use. Why? He was out of control. I mean, he was. You know what it means to be barn sour? That was Ozark. Walk real slow away from the corral, turn him towards the corral, whew, and then I'm off, right? That's typically what happened. And so he would sprint back to the corral as quick as he could. He was worthless to me because he was not under control. Meekness is the idea of a horse that is broken, a horse that has strength, has power, has ability, can run, can trot, can walk, can climb, can keep his balance, but he is under the control of the rider. That's the idea of meekness. Meekness is submission to the will and the direction of God. Meekness is the idea of strength, but I'm under control with that strength. Knowledge, but I'm under control with that knowledge. Having an understanding that I am under the submissive will of God. That's why the author I mentioned talks about meekness being submission and obedience and teachableness. So you could think of illustrations. There's several times in Scripture where we see meekness being mentioned. Let's see this demonstrated quickly. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 12 and verse number 3, talking about Moses. Moses is called the meekest man on the earth in Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 3. The Bible says here, he says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Moses, does that mean he talked real quiet? He was scared, you know, he didn't do anything amazing. And Moses was not weak. But the Bible calls him meek. Let me just give you, I won't give you all the references, but I'm just going to remind you of some of these stories. Moses was not weak, but he was physically strong. We see that in the Old Testament. He was not timid. He was involved in killing the Egyptians there in the book of Exodus. He was not afraid to lead, even though there was some little hesitation there. He became a great leader. He was not afraid of conflict as he was involved in defending God. He was not afraid to be an example. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't sinless, but he did display meekness. And this is how he did it, by obeying the Lord. By obeying the Lord. He forsook Egypt, Hebrews 11 tells us. He obeyed the Lord and he forsook Egypt. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27 tells us that he opposed Pharaoh. He went against Pharaoh. He led the people out of Egypt. He continued to lead the Israelites for 40 years, as we see from the book of Deuteronomy and others, and despite their continual complaining. Moses was a leader that was seeking to be submissive. Now, I know he wasn't perfect, we understand that, but he was seeking to be submissive to the will and the direction of God. He left what he had. You know the story of Moses, how his mother placed him there to be in the river in order to be spared from the murder onslaught that was taking place. And he grew up in that household and he departed from those things. It was a demonstration of his submission to the will of God. But even a greater example is Christ. Now, I've done this every time through a fruit of the Spirit. Go to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Moses in the Old Testament is called the meekest man to ever live. And then Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28. Matthew 11 and verse number 28. If you'll find your place there, hopefully I can as well this morning. Matthew 11 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me," Christ speaking, "come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," Christ says, "and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest upon your souls." Moses was an example of meekness in the Old Testament, and Christ is our example of meekness in the New. I know I don't need to remind you because I do this week after week. Imagine when you take the definition of meekness being strength under control and apply that to Christ, the creator of the universe, as John 1 says, that all things were made by him and without him was not anything made that was made. I've explained to you before that Jesus made the wood that he was nailed to. He formed the hands that held the tool that drove the nail into his hand. He made the voices that cried for Barabbas to be released instead of him. He's the creator of all things, John tells us. And yet, go to Philippians chapter number 2 in your Bibles. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5, he displayed meekness. He says, "Come unto me. I'm meek," he says in Matthew. And then look at Philippians 2, one of my favorite passages on Christ. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Do you know why, a verse for the deity of Christ, why would the Bible say it like that? "He thought it not robbery to be equal with God." What is robbery? Robbery is when you take something by force that is not yours. So of course he thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he was God in the flesh. And then he says this, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself." Humility. He humbled himself and became obedient, the Bible says, unto death, even the death of the cross. What an example that we have. And remember how the passage started? "Let this mind be" where? "In you. And in me, an attitude such as this, who having all things became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now you understand, Christ has power over death. So the only way for Christ to die upon the cross is if he willingly gave himself to that. That's what Christ has done. And yet, here we are as Christians strutting around, what do they say about a chicken with their tail feathers up, right? And yet the Bible says our example is Christ, and how far did he go as an example? He became obedient even unto death. Why? Because that was the will of God. And Christ was demonstrating submissiveness to the will of God for you and I to have salvation through his work upon the cross. The Savior example. We are motivated to be meek as we look at the example of Christ, the example of others, and as was mentioned specifically, Moses this morning. But that's not it. That's not all the reason we should be meek. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 in your Bibles. And let's look at this, what the Bible says in verse number 12. Colossians 3 in verse number 12, the Bible says this, put on therefore, I've read this probably two times at least, the Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So why is the Spirit seeking to make us meek? It's the example of the Old Testament by Moses. It was exemplified by Christ, and then it's commanded by Scripture. You say, well, it's fine for Moses to be meek. That's no big deal. It's fine, right? Christ can be meek. He's the Son of God. But then sometimes we say, well, God doesn't, that doesn't mean I have to be meek. Colossians 3:12 says, as the saved, as those that know Christ, he says, put on, remember the sermon I preached not long after I got here, what are you wearing? And it says here, put on therefore as the elect of God, or as the children of God, wear these things, and meekness is one of them. It doesn't mean you be weak. You may have strength, but that is under the control and submission to the will of God. Now, one last passage, and we're going to park here for the rest of the sermon. Go to the book of James, chapter number 1. The book of James, chapter number 1. And we're going to look at three areas that we see meekness and what it leads to in our lives. The book of James, chapter number 1. And we're going to look at verse 21 and verse number 22 as we talk about meekness. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, he says, is meekness. Meekness, strength under the control, specifically under the submission to the will of God. And then we go to verse number 21. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Three steps. I always have been following the same formula. If you've noticed through all these sermons, we've seen the definition, we've seen the illustration, the example of Christ, and then we see the application, which we have this morning. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I'm just not very meek. Does anybody ever think that, right? Maybe you respond to your spouse in a certain way. Maybe you know everything. Is there anybody here like that? You just know everything, right? We joke in my house. What did Carter say to me last night? He's like, Dad knows everything. He was kidding, of course. He was being sarcastic. And then everyone, you know. But, you know, maybe we think we know everything. We have the best opinion on everything. And if only everybody did it like us, the world would be a better place, right? Amen? If you say amen, I know who you are, right? And so we got it all figured out. But maybe we need to demonstrate meekness, because maybe that attitude is actually leading us in the wrong way. So what are three ways this morning that we can have meekness? Verse number 21, I think it starts with having a repentant heart. A repentant heart. He says, lay apart these sins. Lay them apart. Get them away from you. And you start by being meek, by recognizing that maybe you have some situations of your own. He says, having a repentant heart. Lay apart these things. Now, I know these are words that we don't necessarily use all the time. The idea through filthiness is the idea of... That's almost silly to read the definition there. But anyway, we won't go into all that. But the idea of sins, having a repentant heart. Sometimes meekness begins with acknowledgement that we were wrong. Have you ever gone to your spouse? Have you ever had to go to your spouse and say, honey, I was wrong. How'd that feel? Great. I mean, actually, it does. It's hard to get yourself to that, right? It's hard to get to the point where you admit, guys, now I'm a man speaking, all right? So it's hard to get to the point where you go and you say, you know what? I was wrong how I handled that, right? It's difficult. But once you do that, boy, how exciting is that? How much better it is. So sometimes meekness starts with a repentant heart. The second thing here, verse number 21, and look at what it says, wherefore lay apart. Then at the end of the verse number 21, it says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So we have a repentant heart, but we need to have a receptive heart. A receptive heart. Be willing to hear what God has for us. And you know what? This passage, you're going to recognize what happens in verse number 22. Everybody knows chapter 1 and verse number 22, but it starts with having that repentant heart and having a receptive heart. How's your listening? But more importantly, how's your listening to the instruction of God? How about when the Holy Spirit convicts you of a sin? How do you respond to that? And I stand by this. I think the grumpiest, unhappiest person in the world is a Christian in sin. Oh, this Holy Spirit is just revealing that to you, and you know what you're feeling, and you don't want to admit it, right? And the Holy Spirit keeps bringing it back. You're like, oh, are you sure? To be receptive. You know, sometimes we're like the little boy that was punished by his mom. You've heard this story. And she put him in the corner for time out, and she set him in the chair. And she came back to him after a while, and she said, have you learned your lesson? And he responded by saying, Mom, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. Right? That's sometimes how we are. It's just a big show. Are we meek in our hearts? Are we receptive to the Word of God? The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Are we receptive to be corrected by the Word of God? Sometimes we need, I know I need correction by the Word of God at times. And so we have a repentant heart and a receptive heart. Receive with meekness. I've told you before, the last thing I ever thought I would do with my life is this. I never thought I would be a preacher, ever. I promise you. I ran from my grandmother when she tried to hug me. I was so shy. And when I did talk, I told you before, if I did talk, I said the wrong thing. I told my brother's girlfriend she had a mustache. That was so dumb. I mean, just stupid stuff. And I told you before, the rule in my family, Josh, don't talk unless you tell me what you're going to say. Right? You know, I said the wrong thing. I was scared to talk. I told you I had a speech in college. I was a criminal justice major, wanted to be a New Mexico State Highway Patrolman. I had a minute and a half speech. And I went in my dorm room down in Florida, and I said words that I now wonder what in the world I was thinking. And I said, God, if you'll help me through this speech, I'll become a preacher. It must have been bad. Because I needed help to go. I know times have changed, all right? No more minute and 15-minute speeches. But I went there, and I stood in front of that speech class, and that clock, look, I could still hear the second hand. And I'm talking, and I got docked for being short. I never thought I'd be a preacher. Joanna never wanted to be a pastor's wife. Ever. The last thing, we were in college, and we would see people going to be preachers, and we'd say, look at those fakes, you know, whatever we'd say. But God worked in our hearts. Why? Because you know what? I need to be submissive to the Word of God and to the will of God. And it took meekness, because I didn't want to do it. My pastor, Pastor Dean Baker, he has since gone home to be with the Lord. He used to come and say, Josh, when you start preaching, let me know. And I'd say, what? I'm not going to be a preacher. This is crazy. What are you talking about? So we need to have a receptive heart. What has God been leading you to do? What has God been teaching you? And have you been receiving it? It's one thing to get directions. It's another thing to follow them. And that's what he says in verse number 22, which leads us to our last point of what it means this morning. Sometimes I need to be repentant. Sometimes I need to be receptive. And then number three, meekness is a responsive heart. A responsive heart. Look at what he says here. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. See, meekness produces not only a receptive heart, but responsible. If you ever, I know, I'm so upset with GPS because it got rid of all of our great sermon illustrations on asking for directions. Because now anybody can, almost anybody can find which way to go. Joanne and I were in Washington, D.C. one time, and we kept going around and around the National Monument. I kept thinking, I've seen this before. I've seen this before. We kept taking the same direction. And finally, after the fifth time, I said, honey, what is going on with the phone? And she said, it's upside down. We were going in circles. Following, it was, you know, but so other than that example, most of the time we know. But imagine that you're out in the mountains here and you're saying, hey, could you tell me how to get to the Lake of the Clouds? And, you know, and the person's there like, yeah, I've been there before, I know, and I want you to take a left here. And then right in front of them, you go the opposite direction. Wait a second, I told you left. I'm going this way, right? That's sometimes how we are with the Word of God. We understand what the Scripture's teaching us. We hear the truth of God's Word. The Holy Spirit's working in our lives, but we are not responsive to it. Responsive to it. You know, think of Christ and what He did. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He prayed and sweat, as it were, drops of blood? He says, is there another way for this to be accomplished? And there was no other way. And He went to the cross, because that was the only way for you and I to have the righteousness we need to appear before a holy God, is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine if it had just stopped with the plan and not the execution. And so we understand that in meekness as Christian people, these are attitudes that are produced by the Holy Spirit that are lived out in our lives, and they start by having, sometimes it's a repentant heart. Maybe sometimes we need to say, Lord, forgive me for my pride. I have been trying to do it on my own. I've been trying to make it on my own. Lord, forgive me for my pride. Lord, help me to be receptive to your word and to your leading. Are you listening to God? Are you listening to what he has to say from his word, from the promptings of the Holy Spirit, from the direction in our lives? And then we're repentant, we are receptive, and then let's be responsive to what God has for us. Let's don't just be a hearer, let's be a doer of the word. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, because we're just deceiving our own selves. As Christians, let's practice what Galatians is teaching us, that we, as verse number 23 says, meekness, strength under the control of God as He directs us and guides us with His word, that we'd be willing to submit to His will, even if that means you got to be a preacher, right? Like me. Submissive to the will of God. There's other situations we can apply this to. I think this attribute or this attitude applies great in marriages, doesn't it? Right? How many times, I won't ask you to raise your hand, I know this isn't youth group, all right? I wonder how many times meekness would have stopped a marital fight, right? If you just realize that you don't have to squeeze the toothpaste at that part, right? You can just roll it this way, or you can do this, or whatever. You know, I mean, how many times would meekness for a wife or a husband to say, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Should I take this one step further? I'm going to get myself in trouble this morning. I wonder how many times meekness would help with some political issues. How about in our town? Okay, stop there, Josh, right? How about in our county? You know, to admit and to recognize, you know, we want to be servants of God. How about in our families? Meekness in our marriages, in our relationships, and the people we know. Submissive to the will of God. Receptive to the will of God. And responsive to the will of God. That is what produces meekness in our lives. Joanna's going to come with Bethany and play for us this morning. I'm going to ask you as they come, let's bow our heads together. What are we like today? Are we like my horse Ozark, that had all the strength, but he was under no control? Are we under the control of a living God? Are we desiring to go and to do and to act and be what God would have us to be? Are we receptive and responsive to the will and the direction of God? As they play this morning, take a moment there in your seat. Maybe ask the Lord, Lord, am I demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit of meekness? Am I responsive to your will? Am I receptive to your word? Am I repentant of my sins? Maybe today you should say, Lord, produce in me through your Spirit this fruit. Produce in me this fruit today. Take one more moment there in your seat. Pray these truths will be evident in our life and that the Spirit will produce an attitude of meekness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for even times when it's difficult to be responsive. Lord, help us, Lord, to be receptive and responsive to what you have for us this day. We know your plans are greater than ours. We know your ways are higher than ours. Lord, help us to acknowledge every day our need to be dependent on you and submissive to your will and your direction. May we be meek as we follow your guidance. Lord, may we be meek with others, and may we have a teachable attitude in our lives from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God every day. Thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. Pray for those that have been sick, those that are traveling, those that have lost loved ones. We ask, God, we take the truth of your word this day and that the Spirit of God would apply it to our hearts tomorrow and the next day and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.